Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
Welcome to the Three Martini Lunch. I'm Brett Witterbull, sitting in for Greg Corumbus, joined by National Review Online's Jim Garrity. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Good to be here. Thanks for joining us and sitting in while in Greg's absence.
Oh, happy to do it. Let's get right to it. We've got three amazing martinis for different reasons. The first one is surprisingly good and surprisingly, well, from a blue state. New polls in Massachusetts show a neck-and-neck governor's race. What's going on? Do tell.
Yeah, that is the case. Now, obviously, look, you know, after the Mitt Romney experience, Republicans have reasons to be kind of wary about Massachusetts, a deep blue state. And then we saw Scott Brown win that special election in 2010, and they've actually had a decent amount of success in gubernatorial races. Charlie Baker ran for governor 4 years ago in 2010, did not win. And I think there are a lot of folks who might say, well, look, if you're a Republican and you couldn't win in 2010, you're not going to be able to win in too many situations. Yet, he's taking on a familiar name, Martha Coakley, who everyone remembers from the flopping against Scott Brown in that 2010 special Senate election. And very tough to argue that this is not a neck-and-neck race, even if you don't like one poll, check the other one. Northeast University has a Baker one-point lead. The Boston Herald Suffolk poll has Martha Coakley with a one-point lead. And the University of Massachusetts Amherst WBZ poll has Baker with a one-point lead. So anyway, you slice it, 1 point one way or the other. Obviously not all wrapped up for Charlie Baker, but for a guy who did not win last time, you know, with about 5 weeks left until Election Day, Charlie Baker has to kind of like where he is with a decent shot and possibly picking up another governor's mansion for the Republican Party.
Yes, and so concerned is the White House with this. If I recall correctly, they even sent Michelle Obama in, I think, last week or the week before to try to stump for Martha Coakley. Very unusual given where this race is taking place.
Yeah, maybe she's learned to not pick on Red Sox fans anymore.
Very, very good point. Well, listen, we certainly want more of that martini, don't we? Please, much larger, bigger for Baker, if you would. Well, coming down the pipe here is a very bad martini. Shockingly bad. Incompetently bad. A report moving that says that the president of the United States has skipped over 60% of the intelligence briefings. I mean, isn't this in the basic competency clause of the presidency that you're supposed to at least stick around for the intel briefings?
You are correct. Now, here's the thing. This is from the Government Accountability Institute. And people might say, oh, I've heard of the GAO. No, no, no. This is a private organization that is doing this based on publicly reported information about the president's schedule. And so some people might be a little bit wary. Every single day, the president gets something called a PDB, Presidential Daily Brief. Now, he can get it either personally briefed to him in person, or he can read it on either a paper version, or I understand he now gets it on an iPad. I hope that thing is secure. Yeah. And it's supposed to have, you know, the very latest intelligence that, you know, of the, here, basically kind of your morning newspaper, but with hopefully much better sources.
Yes.
And that according to what their review of the president's schedule, it says he has attended only 42.1% of his daily intelligence briefings. Now, this doesn't mean that he doesn't get any information. On the other hand, we don't necessarily have a way of measuring whether the president is paying attention to it. And the reason this is a very big deal is that yesterday the president or this weekend, he said, look, you know, the intelligence community underestimated ISIS. More than a few folks in the intelligence community saying, nuh-uh, did you read all those reports we sent you? And it's worth noting it was not the intelligence community that was calling ISIS the JV team back in January. That was the president of the United States. Now, you can put something in the PDB. A really key question is, does the president read it? And does the president ingest the information? Or does he continue to walk around thinking what he thought the day before?
Yeah, that is a troublesome sort of a thing to consider. You've inserted it there, but was it read or was it skipped right over to the really juicy stuff out of, say, Uruguay or something? I think that's amazing. As an aside here, though, Jim, it is terrific that you can blame an entire, say, a branch or piece of the government, as in It's the intelligence community. It's a lot like blaming, quote, the government. There's a lot of moving pieces there that can catch the blame, but you're just going to go with the broadest possible brush.
Yeah, and also, you know, look, as much as we might be bothered by, there's now obviously a very clear dispute. Was our intelligence community on the ball? They seem to be making the case that actually, look, you can go back to publicly available testimony they were saying at the beginning of the year talking about ISIS. So it's kind of hard to believe that they were completely caught off guard by this compared to, say, the White House. But, you know, the good news is, Brett, at least the Secret Service is up to snuff, right?
Oh, here comes the weird martini. You know, look, whether it's fist fights in bars on Martha's Vineyard or pursuing prostitutes in Colombia, the Secret Service never ceases to amaze us. And this very weird martini features this revelation out of nationalreview.com that the Secret Service allowed 1,000, that's one with three zeros, security breaches. Do tell, Jim Gary.
Yeah, so this is a more than a little. First of all, there are three elements to this. The first is the Washington Post had a story yesterday saying that there was a shooting at the White House back in 2010 and that these shots actually went into the White House while the presidential daughters were in the house, much closer than they had acknowledged at the time. Then yesterday, this morning, the Washington Post has this just jaw-dropping story saying that the guy who jumped the fence last week not only got inside the building, but actually went pretty far into the White House, ran through several rooms, got past one Secret Service agent, which is just not what you come to expect from things. All these summer movies about White House Down and you know, or Olympus Has Fallen and stuff like that, maybe a little more accurate than we've ever thought, considering this one guy managed to get in pretty far. And now Representative Jason Chaffetz, a Utah Republican, says that an internal Secret Service report revealed more than 1,000 security breaches and vulnerabilities. Now, we don't know how severe each one of those cases are. We remember the Salahis who managed to kind of bluff their way into a White House state dinner party. But this is an organization we always kind of thought of as being very professional, very mysterious, the, you know, dark sunglasses, speaking into their thumbs, stuff like that. And now a couple of really embarrassing incidents for this organization. Hopefully they are fixing it and getting on the ball, because this is an institution of our government that the duties are pretty damn irreplaceable and important and just not the kind of professionalism competence we come to expect from them.
No doubt, it is certainly a big, big black eye on the Secret Service. Well, listen, I mean, we got the good martini. It's a great martini coming out of Massachusetts, showing the race is neck and neck, incredibly tight between a Republican Baker and Martha Coakley, as they both vie for the gubernatorial position in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. We've also got the very bad martini, in which it appears that the president's receiving the briefings, but is he reading the briefings or attending them? We don't know. And then finally, the very weird one, the Secret Service acknowledging 1,000 security breaches at the White House. I can't wait to see what comes down the pipeline tomorrow, Jim Garrity. What do you say we do it again?
Looking forward to it, Brett. Can't wait.
I can't either. I'm Brett Witterbull. That's Jim Garrity from National Review Online. This is the Three Martini Lunch. We'll talk to you tomorrow.